Good afternoon. That was terrible. Good afternoon. That's a little bit better. We'll get you wake up. All right. So all of us are preaching on wisdom, and I got the introduction and sort of telling why wisdom is better than having material things. And so the definition of wisdom from Webster's 1828 dictionary: wisdom is the right use of exercise of knowledge. Wisdom is found 222 verses and 234 partial matches. There's a different types of wisdom. There's devilish wisdom, which TJ's preaching on. There's godly wisdom, and then there's worldly wisdom, so sort of what TJ's preaching on. And Joey's preaching how to get wisdom. I need that. So if you got a choice between worldly and godly, I would want to pick godly. And so we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Chronicles, I said that right? 1, verse 7. And I might stutter, and if I do, just keep on reading along until you get finished. So, I mean. Verse 7. We'll wait till the pages halfway start turning. In the night, God appeared to Solomon and said unto him, "Ask what I shall give ye." And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast shewed a great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to regain in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust over the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, and that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And so God said unto Solomon, "Because thou was in thine heart, and thou asked not riches, wealth, or honor, nor of the life of thine enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge over my people, over whom I have made thee king. The wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall therefore any after thee have like." So God didn't take 3 business days to get back to him. He just straight up and give it to him because it was in his heart. And he didn't even know that was God was going to ask him that. He just already had it there. And so that's why God gave it to him just like that. And he gave him much more than that. Knowledge means nothing without wisdom, because really, really smart people, or book smart people, think there's more than 2 genders. So let's put that out there. Wisdom is above knowledge. So we're going to turn to Job. Job chapter 11, verse number 5. My sermon is short. You should see Joey's notes. They're 5 pages long. I'm saving y'all right now. No offense, Joey. Oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he should shew thee the secrets of wisdom, and that they are double to that which is known. Therefore, that God exhaleth of thee less than thy iniquities deserveth. So, my question is, how can people be so smart and be so book smart and think they're not sinners? They got pride in their heart, and they got everything you can come with it. And they think that nothing comes from nothing, which is stupid. So, till someone contains knowledge, or somebody contains the wisdom of the knowledge of, till someone contains wisdom, the knowledge of the world will make them confused. So, and they'll have, they want to know, or don't want to know the mysteries of life, the secrets of life. If you just come to Jesus, that you won't need all that. Then they shouldn't be confused anymore. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getting understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than fine gold. And she is more precious than rubies and all the things thou canst desire, and not be compared to unto her. The length of days is in her right hand, and the left hand are riches and honor, and her ways are the pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and the happy is everyone that retaineth her. So, and then we're going to, you can go ahead and turn to Proverbs 16. So you see in that passage, we just found out that there's one more that shows that wisdom is better than having material wealth, and it brings many blessings and rewards far exceed material wealth or whatever you want in your life. And you can have knowledge and still be out wisdom if you don't apply that right kind of knowledge to your life. So Proverbs, y'all, I need to get there for Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. How much better is to get wisdom than gold, and getting understanding rather than be chosen than silver? So wisdom is essential in our lives, guiding and helping us and shaping our character. And and the verse says, is how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And so this verse has much value than to showing that wisdom is compared to material wealth. While gold and silver may provide temporary satisfaction, you'll never be able to take that to heaven. Your silver or your gold or watches, knives, or you name it, you're not going to be able to take it up there. And to people that are hoarders, and they pile the stuff around them. I know, because I have a dear loved one that's like this. He'll pile everything around. He just wants to see it. You can almost tell that he's not saved, because how much stuff is he loves the value of things and being around them. And people that are unsaved need to get over their pride and their riches and thinking that their knowledge is better than whatever God has. They need to find wisdom. And if you're not saved, you need to find wisdom of God, because God can give you that and the knowledge. And because wisdom offers a lasting fulfillment and directions in our lives. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Alrighty, if you turn your Bibles, Exodus chapter 28. Now, Xavier said I wouldn't do this, so all of these messages about wisdom are towards him, because he needs a lot of wisdom. Exodus chapter 28, as you're turning. As a saved person in whom the indwelling Holy Spirit is working daily to conform the Christian to the image of Christ, the believer should show forth the wisdom of God working in his life through such characteristics as meekness, purity, peacefulness, gentleness, mercy. But bitterness, envy, and strife should never occupy the heart of a Christian. Right. Exodus chapter 28, we see the first mention in the Bible of wisdom. Let's start in verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, and even Aaron, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may speak, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me and the priest of office. So the first time God uses the word wisdom in the Bible, not talking about some like great scientist or some great doctrine or theologian or whatever. It's talking about making sewing clothes. And that just kind of shows God wants us to have wisdom in everything we do. Right. The little things we do. You don't have to be some great person to have some great wisdom or some great high doctor or have these great accomplishments in life to have wisdom. God wants you to have wisdom in every little thing you do in your life, because we need it. Go to Acts chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So the church to serve food, they need people with wisdom. Right. And anything our church does, in any little task, we need people with wisdom. Any small thing we do in our life, we need wisdom. The most basic duties of your life, you need to have wisdom, or you're going to make a mess out of your life. Whatever you're doing in your life, we need to have wisdom from God. So we need wisdom in our daily routine, and so we can live our lives in the way that gives glory to God. And so where can we find this little wisdom? Let's go to Job chapter 28. And yeah, I do have 5 pages, but I usually go through them fast. So it's not a promise that I'm going to go through them fast, but I usually go through them fast. Job chapter 28, let's look at verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, or with the precious onyx of the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the price of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, We have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. The wisdom comes from God. We don't have any wisdom. all the wisdom that we can get has to come through God, because you can't buy wisdom. You can't go on Amazon and order wisdom. You can't get it from Walmart. No matter if you got all the money in the world, you can't buy wisdom. The only way you can get wisdom is from God. So we got to go to God to get wisdom. And you can also look at Colossians chapter 2. Book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 1. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It all comes from Christ. All comes from the Lord. So, we see that we need wisdom in everyday lives. We definitely do. We are not the smartest. If you think you are, you got a problem. And we see, we can't get wisdom anyway but by the Lord. And then I want to look at four ways of how we do get wisdom. First off is we need to fear God. I was going to tell you to keep your place in Job 28, but I'll just flip back there. Job 28, and I forget about that. First off, we need to fear God. Job 28, verse 28, and unto men he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. So to start off with, we need to have a good fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments and praise, and his praise endure forever. So we have to start out by fearing God. We have to have good, hopefully, fear of the Lord. Second off, we have to ask God for wisdom. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I'll start reading verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Can't say. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So this is a great promise the Lord has given us. He wants us to have wisdom. He just said, you got to ask me. We got to ask the Lord. And he's given us this promise that we can come to him, ask in faith for wisdom, and that he will give to us. But I mean, I'm sure you probably asked for wisdom for God, but I think we need to do it a lot more than we do. And you gotta ask in faith. And a lot of times, I think when we ask for wisdom for like a problem or trial in our life, we just think we will automatically have all this knowledge to do what's right, automatically know the perfect way. But you got to ask for wisdom, and he will give it to you. But you also have to go find this wisdom, and he has given us his word. His wisdom is in his word that he has given us. And as the first point, you got to go to the Bible. So we think we'll ask for wisdom and pick up our. So we'll ask for wisdom. And then what is the next thing we do? Do we read the Bible or do we pick up our phone and watch YouTube? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. We need to incline our ear unto wisdom. What are you listening to? Are you listening to worldly music? Are you listening to, we need to be listening to Bible preaching. We need to be listening and reading the Word of God to get wisdom. Incline your ear unto wisdom. And also, you see in that passage, you need to seek wisdom. Like if someone told you there was buried treasure in your backyard, you'd go crazy to try to find that. But we're not going crazy trying to find wisdom. Wisdom is much more valuable than riches. It's far greater than rubies. It's higher up than all of that. And we seek money and pleasure more than we do wisdom. So I can put the page. And then, fourthly, we need to apply it to our lives. It's not going to do any good if we don't use it, don't do anything with it. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. We need to do something with that wisdom that we can get from the Word of God. Wisdom is the right or exercise of knowledge. So if you know the Bible, you know what you're supposed to do from the Bible, and you need to act. Wisdom is actually using it and applying it to your life. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not aid unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor from all men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, to this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land wherever ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What wisdom? Do what the Bible says. Do what the Lord has told you to do. A lot of people think you can just get wisdom for your problems and you can still live your life however you want. If you want wisdom, you need to live how the Bible says and how God wants you to live. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Got a bunch of verses, but if you want wisdom, go to the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come. No, that's 1 Timothy. Whoops. 2 Timothy. Let's start again. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, our children are a lot wiser than people today. Like Blaine is talking about how all these people think the Big Bang created us. These the children, they're a lot wiser because of the Scriptures. Because they know the Scriptures. If you want to be wise, we need to be in this book. If you want to be wise, we need to get into these Scriptures. You want wisdom for your problems, but you don't want to read your Bible. You want wisdom, but you don't want to do what it says. If you don't have wisdom, it's your own fault. Because it is a free gift that He promised to us if we ask for Him, if we ask for wisdom. Go to the Bible for it. Do what it says. Fear the Lord. We can have wisdom. But if you don't have it, it's your own fault. And we need wisdom.
Go ahead and be turned to James chapter 3. Xavier, paying attention? These are for you. I'm going to go ahead and warn y'all. Blaine and Joey pretty much preached everything I got, but it's all I got, so you're hearing me again. But, so like Blaine and Joey, they were talking about there's different kinds of wisdom, and what we're looking for and what you want in your life is godly wisdom. And James chapter 3 and verse number 13 says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy." So you could have worldly wisdom, and it may help you to be smart and help yourself, but you're not going to be helping others. If you could have that worldly wisdom and take advantage of other people with that wisdom. But the godly wisdom is pure. There's no evil in it. You're not going to be able to hurt other people with godly wisdom. But we're going to talk about the value of wisdom. And go ahead and be turned to Job chapter 28. And so, this godly wisdom is very valuable. In Job 28, starting verse number 12, it says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is far above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold." So it just listed off all these great and precious metals in the world. If you had them now, you'd be one of the richest people in the world. And they're the most valuable things in it. They don't even compare to wisdom and the wisdom of God. And go ahead and turn to Proverbs 3, and we'll be in Proverbs chapter 8 too. But all these are just talking about how valuable it is. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll be starting in verse number 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. And then turn over to chapter 8, Proverbs. Proverbs 8, and verse number 10 says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." So there's nothing else in this world that you could desire that is to be compared with wisdom. And so I think everybody here would agree, after all of us have talked about these verses that talk about how valuable wisdom is, I think everybody here would say that wisdom is very valuable and we should want it. But if we took a look at our lives, would you be able to see that we thought wisdom was valuable? Because if something's valuable to it, you're going to be seeking it and trying to get it and working to get it in your life. But if you go and you look at your Bible reading, would it reflect that wisdom's valuable to you? Or if you looked at your prayer life and how much time you spend talking to God and asking for wisdom, would you see that you value wisdom? And Joey talked about the different ways you can get wisdom, and really none of them by themselves can get you wisdom. You can go and you can do all the studying in the Bible you want. You can go to Bible college and go there for years and learn everything the Bible has to say, but without the Lord giving you wisdom and giving you the understanding, you're not going to have that wisdom. How many times have you seen somebody that was in church their whole life, they knew everything about the Bible, and then they got out on their own and they destroyed their life, made a wreck of their life, every relationship they had they destroyed, and it's because they didn't have that wisdom from the Lord. Or there's been men that went to Bible college for 4 years, and then they go and pastor a church and they have no clue what they're doing, and they make a wreck of the church just because they don't have that wisdom. It takes, pastor has to have wisdom to run this church and to lead us the way God would want them to, and it takes that wisdom from the Lord. And we have to have the godly wisdom for everything we do in our life, whether it be our relationships, family, or business, any of it. We have to have wisdom to be able to do them well and succeed. So when's the last time you asked for wisdom? We look at Solomon, like Blaine was talking about, and he went and he asked the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord gave it to him, and it pleased the Lord that he asked that. He could have asked the Lord for anything in the world, and he asked for wisdom, and it pleased the Lord, and he gave him wisdom, and on top of that, he gave him all these great riches because he wanted wisdom. And really, the only way to get true wisdom is if the Lord gives it to you. In James chapter 1, verse number 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." All we have to do is ask the Lord for it, and he's not stingy with it. It says he gives it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. He's not going to hold you back. He's not going to make you do anything, jump through any hoops to get to it. You just have to serve the Lord and do what he tells you to do, and ask him, and he's going to give you that wisdom. It's not going to be some great, mysterious thing that you finally, after years of study, you get it. The Lord's going to give you understanding that if you just put your heart in it, get in the Bible, and study, the Lord will give you the understanding and the wisdom that you need to make.
All right, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. It's really neat because it just shows you how much the Bible has to say about some stuff like this, because I've been studying a lot about wisdom, not for this, but because I've been going through Proverbs on my radio broadcast and studying a lot about wisdom, and there was stuff they said that I hadn't even noticed. So it's great how the Lord does that. James chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he." I'm in the wrong chapter. Well, you got an extra verse. Somebody needed that. All right, James 3, verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." In the Bible, there is two different kinds of wisdom. The one kind of wisdom has been touched on the majority of the time this afternoon, and that is godly wisdom, that which is founded upon the fear of the Lord. But this wisdom we see here is referred to as earthly, sensual, devilish. This is devilish wisdom. So what could this be talking about? Well, devilish wisdom is that which has to do with an understanding of how to promote one's own selfish lusts and greedy desires founded in pride. The reason this is called devilish wisdom is because it originates with the devil himself. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter number 28. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. At the beginning of this chapter, he's talking to the prince of Tyrus. But then when you get farther in the chapter, you realize who's really in charge in Tyrus. The king of Tyrus, and we're going to see that's the devil. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures." I'll pause here a minute. We've seen over and over and over again how wisdom is better than riches, and choose wisdom instead of riches. This wisdom here says he used his wisdom to gain riches and silver. "By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God, in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus." So we see who's really in charge here. "And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty," and look at this, "thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So we see a completely different kind of wisdom in this chapter than what we've been talking about. This is a kind of wisdom that is about self. This is a kind of wisdom that figures out how can I promote me and how can I lift up myself and how can I gain riches and fame and make a name for myself. And this wisdom, unfortunately, is very, very common. it's not just out in the world, but in believers too, in churches, and people just want a position, or people just want a title, or people just want more money. They just follow the money, or they follow the fame, and unfortunately, that seems to be where a lot of us just naturally, well, it's because we're in the flesh and we're walking in the flesh, and so we go after this devilish wisdom, this envying, and this wisdom that causes strife because we want to put ourselves above everybody else. And that's just like Prince of Tyre's here, and it comes straight from the devil. This wisdom is prideful. Look at Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. Look at verse number 8. Isaiah 47, verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment and one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. That statement right there, that's a statement of claiming deity. I am and none else beside me. How prideful.
Yes.
And it's saying, thy wisdom. That is not wisdom from the fear of the Lord.
Right.
That's wisdom of, I'm greater than the Lord. And we may not just outright say that. We might not say, I'm better than the Lord. But does your life show that? Are you your priority? Or is God your priority? Or do you have godly wisdom? Or do you have devilish wisdom? This wisdom, as we've seen multiple times, we'll look at another verse. It's greedy. Look back at Proverbs in chapter 23. Proverbs 23. And look at verse number 4. It says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. So in a book that's all about we need to get wisdom, it's better than riches, there's a verse that says, stop trying to be rich, stop trying to focus on yourself and gain things for yourself, and cease from your own wisdom. And that is what we need to do. We need to stop prioritizing self. And what I want to do and what's comfortable for me and what matters for me and not care about anybody else. But we need to cease from our own wisdom. This wisdom is that which causes you to do that which is right in your own eyes. Think of the book of Judges. It says when they didn't have a king and they just did that which was right in their own eyes. And they didn't trust in the Lord, but they leaned to their own understanding and their own wisdom. And if you read the book of Judges, you know that ended terribly. No time in the Bible or in our lives does it ever end well when we do that which is right in our own eyes. So this wisdom results in a great fall. Now this kind of wisdom is also that wisdom that the world claims to have, and that by which they claim to be smarter than believers, and they say that there is no God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This devilish wisdom causes mankind to be so full of self that they get to a point where they say, I don't need God. I'm good on my own. And those that think they need God are foolish. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, it would stump a lot of people in the world right now to think that we've all gathered here together to hear preaching to get wisdom. Because in their mind, it's foolish. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we to the world look foolish. It's foolish to believe in God, and it's foolish to believe the Bible. But really, that's their wisdom, but God says that's foolish.
Right.
You know, God said the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
Right.
So really this, although we're calling it wisdom of the world, in God's eyes and in truth, it's really just foolishness.
Right.
And any wisdom that lifts up self and says, I don't need God, I can just live on my own, I can just take care of myself and make a name for myself, it's foolishness. So we have these two kinds of wisdom here, and it basically just comes down to a choice. Are you going to choose to seek after, like we have seen, or are you going to choose to seek after godly wisdom? And that's going to start with the fear of the Lord. That's not going to start any other way. Over and over again in the Bible, and just like they mentioned, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a great lack of that in the world in which we live. People just, they don't fear the Lord, and they'll say, well, we don't really have to be scared of God, but to an extent we do. You know, there's consequences to sin. There's consequences when we don't obey God. And it's just like a relationship between a son and a father. You know, there are times when I had a great relationship with my father, and, you know, we did fun things, we did things together, but he had rules. He had laws, and if I broke those rules and if I broke those laws, there were consequences. And so in that way, I was scared. And that's a good thing. We need to be scared of God. We need to have the fear of the Lord and to realize that God means what he says. And when the Bible says, don't go down this path that's going to end in destruction, we don't go that way. And when God says, go this way, because this is the way of the Lord, this is the way of wisdom, this is the way of understanding, that's the way we need to go. Because though it may not look right in our eyes, God has the ultimate wisdom, God has the ultimate understanding, God has the ultimate knowledge, and we just have to simply trust him. So, which kind of wisdom do you have? In your life, are you focusing on self? Are you all about what am I going to do? My life? My career, my this, my that. You know, if we make too big of a deal of mine, God might not let it be ours anymore. You know, if we put something as too much of a priority in our life, you think of the nation of Israel, when they were going to go out to battle, they didn't want to trust in the Lord, but they said, go get the Ark of the Covenant. That thing will save us. And what did God do? He took it away from them. The Ark of the Covenant was a good thing. But when they prioritized that, God took it away. And so we need to humble ourselves and not lift ourselves up in pride and not go after the devilish wisdom, lifting up ourselves, but humble ourselves in the fear of the Lord and seek after godly wisdom. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day, for all your many blessings. We thank you for your word and that we can have wisdom, and that we can have godly knowledge and wisdom and know how to live this life in a way that's pleasing to you. And we ask that you would help us to do that, to take heed to your word and to not follow after devilish wisdom, but to follow after you. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for all you've done. And we thank you for sending your son to die for us and for rising again. And we thank you for salvation. And we thank you that because we're saved, that we can be taught by the Holy Spirit in wisdom, and that we can have the mind of Christ. We love you, Lord. We ask that you would help something that was said today to help somebody change, to live more according to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.